Erwin Schrödinger won the Nobel Prize in 1933 for his wave equation. Although he died in 1961, the Austrian physicist has been resurrected in Schrödinger's Ball, a new novel that applies his theories on quantum mechanics to a group of aimless 20-somethings searching for love and direction in life. It's the first novel from Adam Felber, but you probably recognize his name from his popular blog or his regular appearances as a panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Mr. Felber will also be writing and performing on the talk show with Spike Ferriston, which airs on Fox this fall. His novel is published by Random House. I'm very pleased it has brought him to my show today. Hello.
Hello. It is a pleasure to be here.
So how did you get interested in the work of Erwin Schrödinger? Were you a physics major?
I was not a physics major, although I was somewhat accidentally an engineer in my first year of college, and I did take physics.
You were an engineer. Engineers are notoriously non-gregarious. They say that a gregarious engineer is the guy who looks down at the other person's shoes.
Well, that might be why I didn't work out as an engineer too well.
Well, the novel does require an understanding of quantum physics. Did you study it at all?
I did, briefly, and I also learned about some of its ramifications of Schrödinger's equations ramifications from a philosophy professor by the name of Daniel Dennett at Tufts.
So you went to Tufts?
I went to Tufts. And
not to Harvard?
Not to Harvard.
Can you explain the theory that earned him a Nobel Prize, at least well enough so that
the wave equation?
Can,
yes. Well, what's relevant, I guess, the way Dr. Schrödinger is relevant to my novel has more to do with Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
Which turns out to be the same thing,
but
at the time, people saw them as competing theories.
Well, they were both madly working to try to get that equation. Somebody had to solve that, and Heisenberg beat Schrödinger to the punch by, I think, about 10 months. So he has the uncertainty principle. The wave equation is mathematically equivalent, but more elegant, I'm told. I don't understand the math very well.
And people liked his version better because it was clearer, easier to visualize.
It had a beat you could dance to, yeah.
And then he had to share the Nobel with the British physicist Paul Dirac.
Yes.
Who also worked on it? You don't know anything. You gave me that pain look like, we're getting into other territory.
I know that they were both working on the same thing. I don't know what his contribution was to it.
But obviously, it inspired you. The concept, a key premise of the novel, has to do with Schrödinger's theory about a dead cat.
Well, yes. That was... See, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, I guess there's no way to avoid explaining it a little bit. In completely layman's terms, which is the only terms that I operate in, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, one of the consequences of it is that a subatomic particle, say a photon or an electron, is either a particle or a wave, but it can't be both. It can't have mass and wavelength. It can't have wavelength and mass. And Heisenberg's uncertainty principle says that it is, in fact, both until it's measured by a human being. I know that makes very little sense, but that has inspired, you know, a generation of physics, of writers who don't understand physics to make analogies.
So how does this apply to the dead cat?
Here it comes. Dr. Schrödinger thought that there was a problem with the uncertainty principle. And the problem was that if you apply it to the real world, something can't be both one thing and another and neither. And the way he attempted to illustrate this was saying, imagine a box with a cat, and the box is sealed, and inside the box is an elaborate device that will either trip a hammer and break a vial of poison gas, or it won't. And there's a little quantum device that determines that. So in other words, he was trying to make a real-world illustration of how this thing works. And he says, now, if Heisenberg's uncertainty principle works the way Heisenberg says it does, before you open the box, the cat will be either alive or dead, and alive and dead, you know, neither in both, until you open it. But clearly that can't be the case. So it was a counterexample. Schrödinger's cat was a counterexample. It has been traditionally completely misinterpreted because people just like the idea of a cat that's neither alive nor dead.
So at the start of your novel, Johnny has just killed himself cleaning a gun,
mm-hmm.
but no one, including Johnny, knows that he's dead.
Right. So the novel, in a sense, traces his 3 days before that basement door is opened.
And also we have this other character, Arlene, one of the Johnny's a musician. Arlene is this rather awkward woman. She's trying to cope with the fact that her cat is dead, but is her cat really dead?
I'll leave that up to the reader, but her cat is dead.
But you're obviously inspired by this theory of quantum mechanics. You wound up doing this thing and you creating four characters who all kind of exemplify the concept.
They do.
They're kind of waves and particles.
They are like waves and particles at the same time, and each has their moments as neither and both. And I really enjoy the idea of how the literary world refuses to look at the Schrödinger's cat as anything but the pseudo-mystical thing that it has become. And I think that misunderstanding is more powerful at this point than understanding it correctly.
Another one of the characters, Deborah, who's kind of sexually focused.
Yes.
Has 30-minute orgasms, or maybe she doesn't.
Yes. Does she or doesn't she?
The novel is set in Cambridge. In fact, much of the action is set in Harvard Square, which you explain is actually a triangle.
Every square in Boston is a series of triangles because it's where bunches of roads intersect at very odd angles. And when roads are intersecting at odd angles, you're going to have a lot of triangles.
So why are they called squares? Is this just another example of what we have with quantum theory where you have a particle that's also a wave and nothing is what it seems?
I think so. I think there is definitely some uncertainty there. I think Boston was not a city that was planned. Boston was a city that happened. And so the ramifications of that are something that Bostonians live with every single day.
My guest is Adam Felber, whose novel Schrödinger's Ball is published by Random House and got an amazing review from the New York Times. Richard Ader called it a comic operetta. Do you like that description?
I like the description. Yes, I do. I've never thought of it as an operetta in any way. It was a creative...
I guess it's because all these people are wandering in and out.
Everybody wanders in and out. It all comes together in a way that actually is quite like either an operetta or a drawing room comedy, I guess.
Or a postmodern love story.
Or a postmodern love story, yeah.
Were you thinking in those terms, or were you just having fun when you were writing it?
I was having fun. I was enjoying bouncing these characters off each other, much like, you know, ping pong balls or particles, I suppose. And I knew that they were all going to come together in a really arcane device. You know, there's literally a Rube Goldberg cartoon that illustrates the way they all come together in the final chapter, and that was what I was looking forward to the entire time I was writing it.
Oh, so you knew how the ending was going to turn out.
Weirdly, the second I started writing it, I knew. Hmm.
Ader loved the book, but he and some of the other reviewers wondered whether you hadn't made it too complicated.
I wonder about that myself. It's
well, what happened? You just kept on coming up with other characters?
Yeah. I wanted to be entertained on every page. That was really my operating principle in writing the book.
So you also have a bag lady writing an alternative history of the world.
Yes, I do.
You have the president of the Free State of Montana.
I do indeed.
And you've made Schrödinger a character.
I have. Dr. Schrödinger is a character, or he might not be a character in the book. But there is a character named Dr. Schrödinger.
Now, his real life story is quite fascinating. After the Anschluss, he spent 17 years in Ireland. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Invited by Eamon de Valera, who I never knew was a physicist. And so he had been interested in Schrödinger's work.
Yeah, and was his patron for all. And then Schrödinger, I believe he spent some time in the United States. And although I guess the balance of his life was lived out in Ireland, wasn't it?
And then he came here, and then he moved back to Austria because he missed his homeland, even though he had been forced to leave. So who's narrating this story?
Someone who may or may not be Dr. Schrödinger. I mean, clearly in a novel that takes place in the 21st century, he can't be wandering around Harvard Square. But it's I don't want to give away too much, but it is someone who believes himself to be and has all the knowledge to be Dr. Schrödinger.
Now, you've done other stuff. You've written some television shows, haven't you?
I've written for a bunch of television shows. The first one I ever wrote for was a PBS show called Wishbone. I don't know if you remember it. It was about a Jack Russell Terrier. It was a children's show that read a lot of literature and imagined himself inside of it.
What about this show that you're going to be doing on Fox, September 16th, which is a Saturday talk show with Spike Ferriston?
It's a very, very funny talk show. It's somewhere between a talk show and a sketch show, I suppose, a comedy show. It's Spike Feresten is a very talented comedy writer from Late Night with David Letterman, and he wrote Seinfeld, the Soup Nazi episode, most famously. And he is the host of a new talk show, comedy show, of which for which I am a writer and performer.
What does being a performer mean? You're not the sidekick.
No, I'm not the sidekick. I play a different role in just about every show. I'm a guy wandering through the set. I'm a panda. I'm
in one. And in addition to all of that, you have this very active blog, which you've been maintaining for some time.
Fanaticalapathy.com. Yeah, I've been doing that since 2001.
It gives you a chance to talk about political things.
Exactly. I mean, as you're aware, Schrodinger's Ball is an apolitical novel, if anything, but I have a strong, political component to me that is expressed through the blog.
Doesn't that also require a lot of time because you have to interact with the people who read you, don't you?
I do. I respond to comments and emails and stuff. It takes more time than I thought it would, but I do enjoy it so much that I...
And then you've written for The Apprentice and also for Arthur, the other PBS kid show.
Mm-hmm.
When you posted stuff about your novel being published, there were 48 responses, including one from your mother. And she said, I, too, have read this book, and it's the best thing I've read in years. But who's going to believe me? Ha! Huh? Like I've got credibility in this matter? But just you wait and see and read. Then you, too, will know the truth. It's just so good.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, your mother's a writer as well?
She is. She's a novelist. She publishes under the name Edith Layton, primarily romance novels, although she has a historical novel coming out this fall, under the name Edith Felber, entitled Queen of Shadows. And she's quite an inspiration to me.
Growing up in a household where somebody wrote, is that an inspiration, but it also is an object lesson, isn't it? You realize that somebody has to go off every day and pound away.
And she pounded away on those first novels at our kitchen table, while we were all running around making her life miserable.
So you also have a sister who's a writer.
Indeed.
And a brother who's a social worker and an artist. Where did he go wrong?
Yeah, how is he not a writer? He actually writes quite well. He just was never anything that he decided to make his profession.
So... Are you going to start writing more novels?
I think so,
on top of all the other stuff?
Absolutely. I don't see any reason why not. I had such a good time writing Schrodinger's Ball. I mean, it's an entertainment in a way. Despite its more weighty themes, it's just fun, I think. Did you enjoy reading it?
I did. And so has every reviewer. That has to be really satisfying to get the kinds of reviews you've
been getting. It is, because, as you know from looking at my resume, I was never a novelist before, and I never wrote fiction before. So I was really writing it for myself, not knowing that it would be published.
How did you wind up on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Peter Sagal, who is the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, was asked early on to submit a list of, 10 or 20 people that he thought might be good panelists. And I think around the time he was about to submit that list, a friend brought him to an improv show that I was in, a mutual friend, and I found my way onto that list.
Mm-hmm. And you are good for it because you are interested in a million different things? Was that one of the requirements?
I think that's got to be part of it. Also, I think...
And you have to be funny.
Yeah, and you have to communicate well with I think I'm a good panelist on that show because I'm an improviser. I've done a lot of improv on stage, and it's all about mutual support and finding the funniness together.
Are you performing around New York in the near future?
Unfortunately, no, because I've moved to Los Angeles, and I'm working round the clock on this television program.
I've always been interested in the relationship between acting and writing, mm-hmm. because a lot of actors who've turned to writing say that it's like getting into a role.
I'd say I was a writer before I was an actor. So to me, acting is a bit like writing. to me, finding the role is writing the role.
So next we have Heisenberg, or are you going to go in a different direction?
I think I'm going in a completely different direction. I might be writing a self-help book.
Oh, how nice.
Actually, a novel disguised as a self-help book is actually an idea I'm working on.
Well, you might also write a self-help book for the characters you've created in this novel.
They all need it, don't they?
Schrodinger's Ball. Published by Random House. Thank you so much, Adam Felber, for being my guest today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.